Melissa and I'm an alcoholic. And I do want to say thanks so much to the Blue Ridge Speakers Meeting or Speakers Group for having me. It's still terrifying to tell my story on Zoom. But I'm really, you know, excited to be here, and I'm really excited to have been asked. It's always a privilege to be asked to share for AA, and so I try to always say yes. I guess this is the only time that I'll be able to, like, tell my story while wearing sweatpants. So, you know, cool. It'll be great. Let's see. So my sobriety date is February 1st, 2016. I mean, I think it's that. It might have been the 31st, but, you know, while I was kind of in that, I didn't really remember, you know, like, what exactly dates were, and I was just like, let's just call it the first, because then I'll be able to remember it, you know, years later. And now that I'm, like, you know, a couple years sober, like, it's easier to remember dates, so who knows, you know, but I'm, you know, glad that that's my sobriety date. And what I do to kind of keep that sobriety date is that I have a sponsor. My sponsor knows that she sponsors me, and I sponsor other women. That's been a really amazing thing, to have someone come up to you and be like, I like what you're doing. I want to meet with you, you know, once a week, and I want to call you, and then, like, you know, I want to spend time with you. And I can say that, like, you know, when I was drinking, very few people were like, hey, I want to spend more time with you. Like, you seem really fun and cool, and I want your life. Or I want what you have to offer. You know, people were not into me, towards the end. I also have a home group. My home group is Common Solution. We meet, Thursdays at 7:30, on Zoom now, and at the Church of Our Savior. And, you know, I have, had jobs in that home group, and, I try to be a part of it. And then I also try to do, service whenever it's asked. So if someone asks me to speak, I try to speak, you know. And I have to say thank you to Belly for following up with me. I didn't call him back when he texted me. And, you know, it's really kind of great how, you know, AA teaches me how to be more responsible and gives me, like, opportunities to, you know, work on being responsible and work on, you know, extending grace. And I learned that from, like, seeing other people, you know, extend grace towards me. And, yeah. I'm really grateful. So, blah, blah, blah. What is it? Those basics, you know, if you're wondering, like, how to be sober, like, I know that, like, I've always been told, do service, get a sponsor, work the steps. Yeah, what it was like. So I was born, you know, and, I think I asked my mom recently, like, what's my birth story? Blah, blah, blah. And she was just like, I was born in July, and she was in student housing, and it didn't have air conditioning. And so she was just like, I was ready for you to be done. You know, I was ready for you to get out and be done. And she was just like, so I was told that if I have, like, you know, one glass of wine, right, you would, that, like, helps with, like, birthing babies. And so she was like, I had one big glass of wine, and then you came out the next day, you know, or, like, I was just like, all right, one glass is not enough, right? Let's have some more. And so, I was born, you know, my parents, it wasn't like they were really planning to have me, blah, blah, blah. It's kind of a shotgun wedding. Which isn't their fault, you know, come on. But my parents were not really kind of, like, I think, meant to be together. And they tried to make it work by having my sister. But after that, it was just kind of like, we're done. Let's get divorced. So they got divorced when I was two. You know, growing up, my mom had, like, pretty bad, like, psychological problems and or mental health issues, I should say. I think that, like, you know, at the beginning of my sobriety, I would have told you that, like, my mom's mental health issues were the reason why I drank. You know, she was the problem. And like her being like kind of emotionally like abusive or distant was the reason why, like, you know, I drank, you know, and if you had had my life, you know, you would have drunk too. And I blamed so much of like my alcoholism and my problems on her. And I can tell you, like, now, you know, I don't think that's the case, but like growing up, I never really felt like I was good enough. I never really felt like I fit in. She never really kind of like showed me affection or kind of wanted me around, you know, and she was doing the best that she could. She was able to like kind of, you know, give me like a really kind of like good intellectual education, right? And she like gave me this kind of love of the arts and like things like that. And I can see that now, you know, but growing up, I always felt kind of, I don't know, uneasy, right? And, not part of the group. And I always kind of was just like, how can I be better? And what can I do to like make people love me? Right? What can I do to fit in? And so, you know, I was really good at school, right? I excelled at that and I like pushed myself really hard. I was always trying to be perfect and I was always trying to be the best. I was trying to be the funniest person. I was trying to tell like the best jokes, you know? I was always like kind of in my head, like two sentences or two like kind of like, you know, things in the conversation ahead of you so that I can like figure out a fun thing to say or figure out the smart thing to say, right? My mind was always like working overtime just to like be loved. And you know, that's kind of like, I don't know, that's just me. So growing up, you know, I was kind of a quiet kind of, nerdy kid. You know, when I think that my first taste of alcohol was when I was 13 and I was at a party and you know, I get this like Bacardi O and I like drink it and I'm immediately just like, you know, I feel like totally comfortable and like totally like wanted and appreciated by like the party, you know? I wasn't thinking about what you thought of me. I wasn't thinking like two steps ahead, you know, of how I could be perfect and how I could be, you know, the person that you wanted me to be. I wasn't overthinking it. I just was, you know? I felt at peace. I felt calm. You know, for the first time, I could finally like take a deep breath, right? You know, like that first like drink of alcohol and you're just like, ah, yeah, yeah, okay. I feel fine. I feel good. Everything's fine. You know, and it's like, I carried so much weight inside of me. And like looking back, I'm like, wow, was like pre-calculus really that hard? Like, you know, why was there such a weight? But like internally, there was this huge weight that I carried around of like trying to be, you know, good enough so that people would love me, you know, and alcohol was the thing that helped me drop that weight, you know, that just kind of made it easy and calm and I felt good and lovable, you know? So yeah, I liked alcohol and, you know, I think that like when I first started drinking, I remember that like Sex and the City was like a big thing. And if you don't know about that, I mean, it's like some like, you know, frou-frou TV show, it's HBO, but anyway, they drink a lot of Cosmopolitans, which are just like fancy cocktails, but they're all alcohol, right? And like when I was drinking it when I was 16, like me and my friends, we had this little like, you know, suitcase of booze that we would like cart around from party to party. And, you know, of course, like for, you know, other 16-year-olds are not used to drinking like straight alcohol. So they were like, this is gross. Like, let's just have like triple sec and cranberry juice, which is very sweet and not very high in alcohol. And so like, I was just like, you know,
I want the real thing. I want to feel something. And so from a very early age, like, I was drinking like the straight cosmopolitans. I was like, put some more vodka in there, you know? I'm 16. I've had a hard day. I need to get somewhere, you know? I'm done. I'm tired, you know? I felt that kind of like existential like fatigue at 16. And I guess I had been feeling it for a long time. And I was ready to like just let go, you know? I was ready to like blank out of my problems. And so, you know, they were sitting around drinking like mocktails and I was just like, I would like more alcohol now, you know, and I could handle it. And so from the very beginning, like my tolerance from alcohol was higher than other people. And I thought that that meant that I was really good at drinking, that this was like a gift, that this was another thing that I was just like good at, you know, another like, wow, I'm just, you know, smart, I'm talented, blah, 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 and I can drink really well. Which made it harder for me later on to like stop drinking because I was just like, I'm really good at drinking, you know, I can drink a lot and I don't throw up and I don't get sick, you know, like I'm just good at this. It's a talent, which sounds ridiculous. So yeah, in my teens, I'm drinking and, I'm not drinking a lot because I'm like a nerd. And no one really wants me at their parties, or they do, but like, you know, I'm kind of nerdy. I grew 6 inches in 1 year. I'm kind of awkward. I'm like doing a lot of sports, you know, I'm working also. So at restaurants, so I'm kind of busy and I don't have a lot of time to party, but I like it, you know, the stuff that I'm getting. About when I was like 16, my mom, was kind of reaching a point where she wasn't really able to take care of us. Her like emotional problems had gotten to a point where like she was paranoid and she was seeing things and hearing things, that were not there. And it wasn't really, you know, good for my sister and I to be in the house. And so we kind of did a thing where, we changed custody. And in order to do so, we had to kind of go through the courts. And, we had to be all evaluated, in order to kind of see what was going on, you know, with the family dynamics, which is a really like hard thing to do while you're living with like the person who, is kind of doing this like emotional stuff to be, then go home and be like, oh yeah, this is what was said at like the psychiatrist. It was just a weird kind of tough situation. It was definitely not something that I was really equipped to deal with, you know? And, I think like during that time period, I really wanted to escape. I wanted to get out of there and I wanted to get out of my family. I wanted to get out of my head. We finally moved to my dad's house, my dad and my stepmom's house. And, it was good. It was much better. But the thing is that both my dad and my stepmom, were active alcoholics. And so, you know, that switch kind of was like, you know, I kind of like thought that like active alcoholism was okay. You know, it was fine. Like if, you know, by 7 o'clock, your parents weren't really there, you know, like you learned how to like get forms signed before, you know, they were unable to like sign them, you know, or like eat, try to get dinner, you know, before they like went into a blackout. And it normalized kind of like alcoholic behavior so that later on when I developed like my alcoholism, I was just kind of like, oh no, we're just, you know, we're having fun, you know, this is normal family dynamics. And it was a really kind of like weird thing to have normalized. I will say that like my dad was super loving, you know, and I'm really glad that I was able to like spend time with him during that, you know, period. But, you know, it's really kind of like, I don't know, it's strange how many, like, times, like, you know, even now when, like, people will talk about, like, their family or their family dynamics, and I'll kind of, like, get that thing of, like, oh, you know, like, my, like, kind of, like, thinking about alcohol and thinking about, like, you know, behaviors are kind of skewed, you know, they're kind of skewed by like my upbringing and like what I consider to be normal, you know, drinking behavior or normal kind of like alcohol intake. During like my high school, I'm like ready to go to school. I'm ready to like basically leave, you know, my house, because, I wanted to escape. So I was ready to go to college. I get to college. I love it because I, can drink as much as I want, you know, so, I do. And it's really good. You know, I'm young. I think that I'm like a normal, like college lady, you know, drinking, going to school, partying. When I go home for at the end of, I think it's my first year, my like stepmom picks me up and she's just like, oh, you know, your dad like is in rehab, you know, we have to go to rehab. And she's kind of angry about it, which makes sense because like her drinking buddy is gone, you know, and no one likes that. Right. And he had, you know, shown up to work, I guess, drunk, and that was not okay with his profession. And so he went to rehab. And I remember kind of getting home and just being like, I guess that makes sense. You know, I guess I thought that because he was like so pleasant when he was drinking, you know, like, he was just super warm and fun. I was like, well, what's so bad about that? You know, he just needs to cut back, right? He just needs to drink less. And then he'll still be like the fun person, right? He'll still, you know, have a good time, you know? And I just didn't know like what alcoholism was, right? Like I never seen like a sober alcoholic. I never really seen a sober person. I grew up on both sides, it's big, you know, Irish Catholic families on both sides. So, you know, it's heavy drinking, right? And, there's not a lot of sober people. He went through rehab and he got sober and, you know, those like months that I had with him, when he was sober, those were like probably like the best times of our relationship. I could call him up on the phone and I knew that, you know, I could call him up after like 7 o'clock. Right. And he would remember like the conversation the next day. Right. And that had never happened before. He was interested in what I was doing. He was asking questions, right? And he, you know, you could kind of tell that he like cared, right? And I remember just thinking, wow, like, you know, I have like a parent who's like interested in me, you know, and it was amazing to have someone just like be there. During that time, I didn't know it, but he was going to AA. Working a program of recovery. I think that he did like, amends with me, but I'm not sure. I mean, I might've been like drinking. Who knows? I don't know. Later on, my second year of school, in the spring, I learned, you know, I am told by like my sister and my stepmom that my dad has gotten really sick. And that he has been in the hospital for colon kind of issues. He gets a surgery to kind of fix it. And a couple of weeks later he dies, in the hospital from MRSA. And, you know, that was a huge shock to me. I didn't realize that my dad was as sick as he was because I was away at school. And it was also a huge shock to me because, you know, I thought that, you know, he was going to get better and he didn't. And so, you know, in order to deal with that, I drank. and I drank a lot. And I didn't really know how to talk about my feelings. I didn't really know how to express grief. And so I thought that I was doing it wrong, right? And so I just kind of drank more to like kind of dull the pain. And, you know, I had been working in restaurants since I was like 15. And I left school kind of to go work in restaurants because it was easier to make money and it was easier to drink. You know, there's plenty of alcohol there. If you ever, you know, need a job where you have lots of access to alcohol and a lot of coworkers who are cool with you drinking a whole lot and showing up to work hungover, a late start time so you can like drink into the wee hours in the night, pick a waitressing job. It's good. You know, I worked for years, as a waitress and as a bartender in order to, you know, have access to alcohol. I don't know, during those years, it's kind of like, I spent like a lot of my 20s working in restaurants and like drinking and kind of doing school, wanting to do school, but not really being able to finish it. I finally graduated, after 9 years. So I was in the 9 year plan. And after I graduated, like I didn't really want to do anything else other than wait tables, you know, and it's kind of crazy because I had spent so much time and energy to get this degree. And then afterwards I was just like, I just want to drink, you know, and I just want to chill out and I just want to relax. I don't really want to do anything. And so I guess that like my 20s, a lot of that is like kind of a blur, you know, I didn't really do much. And that's like kind of what happens with, I guess, alcoholism. You don't really do a whole lot, you know, you don't really accomplish a whole lot. It's just kind of the same old, you know, day in and day out. And it's kind of, you know, it's kind of sad, you know, I didn't really learn too much. Maybe I did. But I was just very sad and I definitely didn't like ever grow emotionally. Like I never got over the death of my dad. I never got over like kind of my mom being like not the mother that I wanted her to be. I never like kind of was able to form more lasting friendships. I never was able to like have like a lasting relationship with like a guy. You know, I wasn't able to do those things because all I wanted to do was just kind of drink and like wallow in my pain and like, you know, just trying to get cozy, you know, that's all I could do. And it made me so sad, you know, and, you know, starting from like the age of 16, about every 4 years, I would kind of have these like emotional breakdowns and I would have these like breakdowns where like, you know, I would like only be able to like drink and like self-harm and like, you know, and then I would have to like go to a psychiatrist and I just thought I was like crazy and I thought that there was no hope for me, you know? So I had like an emotional breakdown at 16. I had one at, you know, 19. I had one at, you know, 24. I had one at 29 and like I'm 33 now. And so I'm supposed to be like on course for another one, but I don't think I will because I'm not drinking anymore. You know, I'm not like pouring like this depressant in my mouth. I'm not like kind of stuck in my pain and not like working through it, you know? But in my 20s, I thought that I was kind of doomed to this life of like, you know, depression and like not good mental health and that I was just kind of this broken, flawed person. When I was 29, I kind of like realized that like maybe like my drinking was, a problem. You know, I had started, driving more while I was drunk and that was something that I never thought that I would do. You know, and honestly, like it took me a while of like coming to these rooms to realize that like a lot of my driving was drunk. It's just that like I only thought that like drunk driving was like driving when I was blackout, which I would do. And, you know, it took me a while to really realize that like buzz driving is drunk driving, right? Like that slogan. And it makes me so sick inside to like know that I could have harmed someone, You know, I could have hurt someone, you know, and I have no idea. And how irresponsible, right? That's not the person that I ever wanted to be. So yeah, like when I was 29, I was just like sick, you know, I would wake up every morning and I would be like shaking. I, you know, was kind of overweight. I was like, my skin wasn't good, blah, blah, blah. I didn't have any friends. I wasn't working a good job. Like a lot of things were not going well for me, or they were not what I wanted. And so I kind of knew, and like, you know, I had this pain in like my kidney that like kind of erupted every time like I drank, you know, a whole lot. And I kind of was like, maybe I have the same problem that my dad did, you know? And it's not like he was the first person in his family to have, you know, problems with alcohol. Like he died in his 50s of alcoholism. His mom died in her 50s of alcoholism. You know, it probably goes farther back down the, you know, chain of like, this is a long line of like alcoholics, and we all kind of do the same thing, you know? And I just thought that I was doomed to die an alcoholic death, just like, you know, this long line of people in my family. And it took like a long time for me to like get to the point where I wanted to stop drinking. You know, I had to like want to stop drinking, right? And I tried a lot of things to kind of slow my drinking. You know, I thought that like all those things in the big book, like natural wine, right? Like, you know, only drinking beer, like only drinking clear spirits. You know, I thought that if I went to church, you know, that I would stop drinking. I thought that if I did more yoga, then I would stop drinking. I thought that if I like read more, I would stop drinking. I thought that if I could find the perfect book, you know, that could tell me what to do, it would like get me to stop drinking, right? I just wanted this one like kind of magic cure to like appear so that I could stop drinking. And you know, when I think about like the kind of like demoralizing, what is it, incomprehension? I think about those times when like I am trying so hard to stop drinking and I can't. And like, you know, I would be like drinking in the shower before work, and that sucks. You know, no one likes drinking in the shower before work, you know, and I can be crying and I'd be like, this sucks. I hate this, blah, blah, blah. Why am I doing this? And like, hate drinking is the worst. You know, when you're drinking and you know it's bad, but you still got to do it because you don't know any other way to like just cope with your existence and just go on with your day. Like that sucks, you know? And that's, you know, where I ended up. And it's just like, when I think about like when I get into a hard time, I just have to remember like how bad like drinking at the end got. It got so like gross and bad, and waking up with like a hot hangover on a hot day. Ugh. So, you know, while I was like trying to like stop, you know, I would like Google, you know, am I an alcoholic, or like, how do you stop drinking? Blah, blah, blah. And they would come up like AA, and I'd be like, I don't want that. You know, I read like the steps and I was just like, admitted powerlessness. Like, you know, I feel powerless all the time. Like, why, well, how is that going to help me? You know? And like, I would like read things and I'd be like, they're anti-woman and like, you know, they're all a bunch of old men and blah, blah, blah. And so I made all these excuses of like why I shouldn't go. It finally reached to a point where like I showed up drunk too many times to work, which is crazy. Like, you know, this wasn't the first time. This wasn't the second time. This was just like, we're so sick of you coming to work drunk that we're finally now firing you. And so they fire me. And my sister takes me home to my stepmom. And, you know, all this time in which I had been like searching for a way to stop drinking, I never thought to ask my stepmom, who was years sober at the time. And she was sober through working a program with Alcoholics Anonymous. And, you know, because I'm like in this kind of alcoholic, like blah, 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 me, you know, and thinking that I like am going to be able to find a solution. I never thought to ask for help from someone who would like beat the problem, you know, that never kind of like went into my head like, oh, maybe I should ask someone who has had the same problem and now like doesn't have this problem. Right. Like, you know, now as like someone, you know, now I'd be like, oh, I should ask someone, you know, like blah, 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 I should ask for help. And like, that's only through like, I don't know, like work with like my sponsor who tells me that I need to ask for help more. So I get taken home to, my stepmom, and she takes me to, AA meetings here in Charlottesville. And, she like introduces me to people. She asks ladies, for their numbers. And she says, here's my daughter. She's new, you know? And I'm sitting there like crying because like, I just think that my life is over and I can't believe that like, I'm here with like my mom and like, she, it's just like very embarrassing. Like that is very like, I thought it was very sad. It's really not. It's like so sweet, you know, that like she took the time to like go in and like help me out. You know, it took me, I think, a couple months of like going to meetings and hearing, you know, the message and then deciding that I needed to drink that night and getting some wine and drinking it. Until, you know, a couple months later of that, I finally woke up one morning. I came to and, you know, I was just so tired. I was just so tired of living my life the way it was, of being disappointed every morning when I woke up, of waking up every morning and just being like, I just want, you know, I don't want to do this anymore. I just want to die, you know, of just being so like sad and sick of everything, you know, that I finally woke up and I was just like so sick of all that mess. I woke up and I like said to God, I was like, this sucks. You know, I'm ready to do AA. And it took me like that kind of bottom to like really start to accept that I had a problem and accept the, you know, the solution that was being offered to me, you know? And so I started going to meetings and not drinking afterwards, which was cool. And good. You know, when I first came to the rooms, I had been working in restaurants for so long that, you know, I would see people in the rooms who were my ex-customers and I would see them and like, I'd be like, oh yeah, that's why I haven't seen you in a couple weeks, you know, or in a couple months. Like, and they looked good, you know, they looked a lot better. They looked like they were having, you know, a decent time. And so those like kind of, you know, those were kind of like, I don't know, like kind of finger holds or toe holds for me to like be like, maybe this works. Maybe this could work. And everyone was so like welcoming to me, which is something that people were not kind of doing towards the end of my drinking. I didn't, you know, people were not calling me at the end of my drinking. People were not texting me. People were not like looking to hang out with me because I was kind of a bummer. I would just like get drunk and cry about my life. And like, they were like, this sucks. But people in AA were just kind of like, can I have your number? Like, do you want to hang out? Do you want to do something? Blah, blah, blah. When are you going to the next meeting? You know, they were like, keep coming back. And I thought that that was meant for me as like, you know, a fun, like cool lady. I later learned that they tell that to everyone, but that's cool. You know, I finally felt like there was hope for me. Because I just, I thought for so long that I was really doomed to an alcoholic death and that there wasn't really any saving for me. People told me to go to 90 meetings in 90 days. I did that. I didn't really have anything else to do. I had been fired, from my job. And so, you know, I went to the gym, I went to a meeting and then like, I just kind of like, you know, went to the grocery store 15 million times, right? Because what else was I doing? I got a sponsor. You know, they said to look for someone who has what you wanted. And so I was just like, I want someone who's happy and someone who can talk to people and someone who can pay their taxes or pays their taxes. I don't know why that was like so important to me because I was not a taxpayer at that point in my life. But I wanted someone who kind of followed the rules, and she seemed like that. And she could talk to people too without like freaking out. It didn't seem like she was. And I was just like, that's wild. I don't have that. I started, you know, like going to meetings, and I got like a home group, or I got a couple home groups, and I think that like working the steps for me was kind of a battle with me and my sponsor and me and like, I guess my God, because I was so resistant to being told what to do. And, I'm a person who only follows rules if I can like, if I think they're right. Right. And if I know like the kind of the reasoning behind the rules. So, I'm just, you know, a doubter. I want to know for sure. I could tell that like I was an alcoholic, and I could tell that my life kind of sucked. Step one was pretty easy for me. I was just like, yeah, I'm done drinking. Like I'm tired, you know, my body hurts. It was only after like not drinking for a while that I realized that like I had been hallucinating a whole lot from like, you know, the lack of alcohol. Like as soon as I got sober, like there were a lot less like bugs flying around. There were a lot less like rats, like kind of coming out of the corners. And I realized that those were hallucinations caused by like not having alcohol. Which is kind of a bummer, because I thought that my hallucinations were going to be fun and like colorful and like, you know, more acid-like, which is a bummer. I kind of fought the concept of God. I didn't think that God, you know, was like there for me. You know, I thought that God had like, didn't want to have anything to do with me. And, you know, it's kind of crazy that I thought that, because I had been given so much, you know, and I was not grateful for it. I wanted more. And I would see all these things that I didn't have. And I was just like, yeah, God doesn't want me to have that because God doesn't like me, you know? And that's so gross. That's so nasty. I don't like that. So I think that like, you know, starting to realize like how much I have to be grateful for was a huge part of me, like, you know, kind of coming around to like trusting in God. And you know, that's a big part of my practice today. One thing that I did have a lot of trouble with was, I was told that I would have to write my fourth step, and I was just like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to have to like write down all these things, and I just didn't really want to do the work. That's it, because I'm kind of lazy. Or I just didn't want to do it. And I guess I didn't have faith, actually, that that would help me. I thought that I could just stay sober, and it would be good enough if I didn't, like, you know, do this thing that I didn't want to do. And so I sat on my fourth step for like a year, right? And, as I was getting like my, you know, my chip, my sponsor was just like, you know, congratulations. Like, this is really good. And I was just like, yeah, now I have to do my fourth step. So it sucks, like blah, 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 because we had talked about it. I would have to do my fourth step after, I got a year sober, which is real ungrateful. I kept sitting on it, and I kept sitting on it, and I kept sitting on it, you know, and I kept having all these excuses. And finally, like, my sponsor was just like, you know, if you aren't going to do it, you know, you need to find someone else. Like, I just want you to be sober. And this is the only way I know how to be sober, right? Like, I just want you to be sober. And so you need to find someone else. And I think at like that moment, I really realized that like, you know, that like this program is like, you know, I don't know, that I wouldn't find sobriety unless I like did the work, right? And that's what she truly believed. Like she had so much faith in this program that she was willing to give up on like sponsoring me in order to like, you know, in order for me to be sober. And that was like a really huge thing for me. It seems like not a lot, but like, you know, to have someone have like all this faith and like this kind of program of recovery that they're, you know, I don't know that they, I don't know, are willing to like kind of give someone up. Not that I'm like this prize or anything. I think was really, you know, a big thing for me to kind of, go through. And then, one other thing that I never thought, that I'd be able to give up was, you know, after I did my fourth step and after I did my fifth step, because I did that, I had so much resentment against my mom, who, as I said, I thought, you know, caused all my drinking. I thought that like her, like lack of love meant that I was like a terrible person, right? That I was unable to like love people or unable to accept love. I was so afraid of her, you know, I was so afraid of like her voice. I was so afraid of like what she could do to me. She was just kind of like this monstrous figure, you know, in my life. And I thought that I would never be able to forgive her. So that when we were doing our fifth step, my sponsor was just like, you know, she was just like, you're going to need to like, I don't know, forgive her kind of. And I was just like, that'll never happen because she's evil, blah, blah, blah. You know, I was on my high horse. we can see how this ends, right? And so, about 2 years into my sobriety, my grandmother got sick and, we knew that she was dying and I needed to go up to Massachusetts to see her. And, I was really afraid to do so because my mom was up there and I would have to like see her for like the first time in about 14 years. And I was terrified, you know, I was terrified that like I would like just break down, that I was just like, I'm going to die. But it was really important for me to be a good granddaughter, which is something that like I don't think I would have had if I was still drinking. Like I wouldn't have cared whether I was a good granddaughter or not. You know, I was just in it for me. So I went up and, you know, I sat by my grandmother's bedside. You know, we took mass together. We talked. Later on when she died, I went to my grandmother's funeral and my mom was there and it was, you know, the first time I had seen her. And I was able to show up, you know, and see her and talk to her and it wasn't scary. And I remember thinking, wow, this is all in my head, like this kind of fear that I have towards her, you know, like I was afraid of her in my past, but I don't have to be afraid of her now. And, you know, this year she came into town and, she wanted to meet up and I was able to finally like sit down with her and talk with her and I wasn't afraid and I also wasn't angry at her anymore. I had been waiting, I guess, my entire life for her to apologize for my childhood, which is, you know, a very, it's pretty rich. You know, this lady who had brought me into the world, like, I want her to apologize, you know, for all the things. And I had been waiting for that. I had been waiting to, like, tell her, like, how I really felt and really, like, you know, really twist the blade, you know, really get, like, my, like, piece in. And when she finally, like, apologized to me and she was just like, you know, I haven't been, like, the best mom, you know, and I haven't really been, like, you know, the mom that I thought I would be. I just, you know, I felt for her, you know, and I felt, I just couldn't imagine. I really felt like kind of care towards her. And I don't think that I would have met with her. And I also don't think that I would have been able to accept her apology and to really care for her unless, you know, I had worked like a program of recovery, you know, unless I had like gotten sober, unless I had also like kind of started to understand like my own faults, you know, and started to like ask for forgiveness for my own faults. You know, I never would have understood that, like, asking someone, telling someone your flaws, right? And then asking them to, like, kind of sit with them and forgive you. Like, I never would have understood, like, how hard that is. And so, you know, it's just, it was like a burden that, like, I let go, right? And it was finally a burden that I let go and I didn't have to carry, and I didn't have to do it with, like, alcohol. And, you know, I'm just so grateful, like, right now for that, right? That, like, I can get, like, that kind of peace in my life without drinking, without, you know, taking in substances. You know, because I think, like, right now, especially with, like, the coronavirus and all these, like, fears, like, you know, I carry a lot of, like, kind of fears about it. Like, I'm like, oh, my God, am I going to die? Like, blah, 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 am I going to die alone? Blah, blah, blah. Who, you know, I'm worried about everyone on in my life, you know? Like, what are they doing? Like, are they being safe? And, you know, if I was drinking, I don't even know what I would be doing. But, if I was drinking, I don't think that I would be able to, like, kind of let those fears go, you know, and kind of give myself up to God, right? To have, like, the faith that, like, God will kind of carry me through this, and carry, like, my loved ones through it too. Yeah, I'm trying to think of anything else. If I have, anything else, I'm really grateful to be sober. Yeah. Thanks so much.